Welcome to the Sanctus NYC Message Podcast. We are the young adult community of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, built on the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us today as we look to God to lead us into the fullness of the life that he has for us.
So just to give like a short snippet of the story, here we were with our like team. We always have like everybody who's serving in Sanctus. We meet before you guys come in. We all pray together. And I don't know if anybody who was on that team remembers what I prayed for that night. We were sitting here and there was a passage where it was saying about like his zeal for his house consumes him, talking about Jesus. And that's what God is calling us to be like. And zeal is like water that's boiling. And in order for water to boil, it can't heat itself. It needs to be exposed to the fire, right? And so what I was praying, I was like, Holy Spirit, like let your fire come. Let your fire fall. Let your holy fire consume us. And I prayed that with my entire heart. And so that night at Sanctus, we had an awesome split night. I get home. My wife and baby are already asleep. I hop in bed, and I'm about to fall asleep. I get a text from somebody who sent me a screenshot from the Citizen app, and they just said, I am so sorry. And the picture was of my apartment consumed in flames. And so it began this whole thing. It felt like a movie. It's been such a crazy process this last year with so many disappointments, twists and turns, inconveniences, having to spend money we don't have, a lot of issues. And finally, we were 4 days away from being able to move into this place. It was like an eight-month process. And then in a moment, not only is it gone, everything we have is burned away. I have a newborn baby, a wife who has a lot on her plate with a baby who screams 18 hours of the day. And so I walked home and just was feeling like, it didn't even feel real. But it began a process of the next couple of weeks, which whatever that was, it opened up like a lot more chaos, a lot more things that I was not expecting ended up going wrong. And then it ended up getting to a point where it was like, I was like looking down in a way like the barrel of a gun of like, just to give you like a really condensed version, they were like, something happened with your insurance. You're not going to get any money. You're going to have to pay for all of this stuff and we might sue you. And so I'm just like, and so, you know, thinking back to that moment and like praying, like fire fall, like, that's not what I was asking for. You might hear that and be like, I'm never going to pray that prayer. But on the other hand, what these last couple of weeks has helped me see was that that is what I was asking for. That the trials that God allows in our lives is the holy cleansing fire that his Spirit uses to lead us into life. Like, suffering is the school of the Holy Spirit. Suffering is the fast track to life in Christ. And it's actually unavoidable. For every single person here, it's like we might have an idea of life where it's like, maybe I get saved and things are amazing, but then like it gets hard and I have to get sanctified. But then there comes a point where it's like you figure it out and then you don't really have to fight anymore. Like life just becomes comfortable because you worked through your heart issues and you're good. It's like maybe some of us here have a hope in our heart that there's some point in the future that we can trust God for where it's like, yeah, we're going to get through this, but we are going to get to a place where life is just going to work and be easy and be comfortable and I'm going to have gotten through the test and it's going to be great. Nowhere has that been promised over my life or your life. The place actually where that is going to be true is one day when we stand in his presence in heaven. But until we get there, life is a series of storms and fires. One of the main images that scripture uses for fire, it compares it to this process that a lot of us are familiar with, how gold would be cleansed. Gold would be taken, put over a super high fire, the temperature would melt the gold, but as it would melt, the dirt and the impurities would rise to the top. And as it rises to the top, there it was isolated and identified, and it can be dealt with and cleansed away. And I can say with full conviction standing before you today, I'm not through yet. There's still a lot of battles to be fought and things that need to be figured out. But I'm grateful that God has allowed me to go through a fire that is leading me already into a deeper experience of what it means to live in Christ. That what we're looking for isn't found on the other side of the fire, but in the fire and through the fire. The life and the salvation that God has come to bring you, it's not that you would come to some place where you no longer have any discomforts, but the salvation you've received is that there is a beyond comfort, a wholeness and a peace that you will walk in the midst of any kind of discomfort you can imagine. Jesus, the last thing he said before he went up to heaven was, in this life you will have many trials, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And so for you and I today, we're facing trials. There's battles. There are things that you may feel disillusioned by, despairing in, hopeless, anxious. If you've put your faith in Jesus, the spirit that you have received doesn't produce those emotions. Which means if those things are coming to the surface, it's because God is wanting to deal with them. He's wanting to cleanse your ideas of how life should look, your control over your life. You're telling God, this is what goodness is, and you better get along with my plans. Maybe he's allowing the fires to come to show you what's in your heart, bring it to the surface, so he can lead you into an experience of him that you've never known. If you're here in Christ today, if you've put your faith in him, positionally, you're a child of God. Positionally, you are holy. Positionally, you have all of the grace that you could possibly have. The Bible says, because of your union with Christ Jesus, every spiritual blessing has been given to you. But just because that's positionally true doesn't mean that it's experientially what you're living in. And so God allows the suffering and trials of life to take what is positionally ours into our experience. If you're facing a trial today, if you're facing a battle, we're going to talk about this right now, but you are in the middle of the will of God. He's doing something beautiful in your life. Rather than fighting against it, rather than just sitting in despair, God is calling us as his people today to embrace what his loving hand has allowed into our lives. And so I want to point us to a crazy story that in the middle of a lot of the stuff I was trying to figure out over the last couple weeks, God, in just the order of what I was reading, allowed me to read this, and this brought so much clarity and hope to my heart. So I want to walk us through a crazy story in the Bible right now. So we're just going to put it up. 2 Kings chapter 6. So context for this, who knows, it's important to read the Old Testament. But I will say this, it's important that you have guidance and help in understanding the Old Testament. Because the Bible says this, we have to rightly divide his word. Which means it's actually possible to read the Old Testament and miss Jesus. It's easy to have an understanding of God from a covenant that you are not in, and then find yourself confused and even discouraged because what that was pointing to Jesus, which you now are in, right? And so in the Old Testament, we see Israel, it's a whole story, started as a family, turned into a nation, asked for a king. Saul came in. He was replaced by David, who was an amazing, godly king. Although he had faults, he trusted the Lord. After that, Solomon came. He started great, ended horribly. And because he ended horribly, the agreement and covenant that God made was, if you're faithful to me, if you don't cheat on me with other gods, you're going to be so blessed. If you do, then there's going to be consequences that you bring upon yourself. And so because as a nation, they fell into this darkness and sin, end of Solomon, it ends up leading to his son taking the throne. But then this rebellion happening, it's splitting into two nations. Israel became the country in the north. Judah became the country in the south. Judah was a lot smaller. And it just led to this now progression of king after king after king, and things just getting progressively worse and worse and darker and more evil. And God is being so patient in the middle of them cheating on him, in the middle of them doing evil, abhorrent things. He still is sending them prophets just saying, like, come back to me. Like, you're going in a horrible direction. What you're about to bring on yourself is going to be devastating, but I will show you mercy. I love you. Will you return to me? And there were ways that they would kind of do it, but then they would continue to just end up going their own way and it just getting worse. And so where we pick up this story now is one of the worst kings in the history of Israel. His name was Ahab. He had a wife named Jezebel. They were wild. They had a son who came in and was on the same stuff that they were. And they, because of all of the evil that they were practicing in their nation, there was a lot of attacks then from enemy nations that were starting to get worse and worse and worse. But God, in his mercy, even though they want nothing to do with them, sends a prophet named Elisha to come and speak to the king. And it's really just the mercy of God. Like, here there are these countries coming to, like, destroy them. And Elisha is coming and on behalf of God is saying, so this is what these nations are about to do. Do this to protect yourself. Do this to protect your people. And the schemes of these other nations and kings trying to come in and destroy things just keep getting blown up over and over and over again. So that's the context coming into this story. So verse 8 says this, when the king of Aram, which is one of the other countries that's coming to try to take over Israel, attack them, was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. But immediately Elisha, the man of God, and just a little bit more context, Elisha was like the lead prophet at the time. He had a lot of other prophets that would follow him, but he was kind of running it. And at this point in his ministry, he had seen so many miracles. God had used him in so many insane, beautiful ways. Dead people being raised to life. Poison being like turned into non-poison. A lot of different things happened. But he comes in and after walking with God, serving him faithfully, comes before the king. And it's really God's mercy to Israel. He says this, do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king, this king who is still evil, doing horrible stuff, but God in his love and mercy just keeps coming and saying, hey, I still want to protect you from this and that. Warned the king so that he would be on alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, which of you is a traitor? Who's snitching? Who's been informing the king of Israel my plans? Nice slow transition. It's not us, my lord, the king. One of us, the officers, replied. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. And he said, that's it. Go and find out where he is, the king commanded, so I can send troops to seize him. And the report came back. Elisha is at Dothan, a city. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. Pause there for one second. Commentators will say it's like a small city where Elisha is with his other prophets. But the king sent an army big enough to like conquer the capital city. So he's not playing games. He's like, I'm not going to make it where there's any way out for this guy. He's going to die today. Next verse. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning, so when one of Elijah's assistants, and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Pause. So let's just track with this really quick. Here's Elisha, serving God, walking in his will, has seen so many beautiful moments of miracles, victory, and in the middle of walking in God's will, after doing it for years, the biggest threat that he has ever faced in his life is now at his doorstep. So that means following God. He didn't have this issue because he was just off doing his own thing. Because he was walking in the will of God, he had to face a challenge so much greater than anything he had ever faced that seemingly there's no way out of. Whether you're a Christian or not, there are trials that you and I are facing in life. But if we're following God, that's what's crazy. Maybe this isn't the best ad for following the Lord. But what it says is if you're going to follow Jesus and give him your life, does that mean that, yeah, there's just this initial hump you got to get over and then it's just smooth sailing from there? No, you're going to walk with him and the threats in many ways may become greater. The challenges become harder. The persecution become more aggressive. The people around you being more disrespectful and dehumanizing in different ways. So this God, who he's called us to follow him, saying that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, that we're more than overcomers, that he gives us all this peace, there's this beautiful life of salvation, he's set up good works that he's leading us into, but there's one other thing in the fine print. The challenges and trials that you're going to face will be beyond what you would ever sign up for. And so here, his assistant comes to him, and he literally looks at the threat that has surrounded this entire city. Anywhere you look, there is just soldiers, soldiers. It's like, there's as he's sitting there, he says, what will we do now? Really, the question is like, how could we possibly get through this? This situation that I'm facing, like, I'm not even gonna create a trajectory where I can see this working out in a way that's good right now. So he now is freaking out. There's despair that's beginning to set in. And so what does Elisha say in response? Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Pause. That is such a beautiful verse. He's a boss. Here he is looking at a small city surrounded by a massive army with zero way out. His own people, they're looking at the exact same thing, but they're seeing things very differently. Two people in the exact same circumstances, one of them is in despair, losing their mind, and the other one says, don't be afraid. Why? There is more that is on our side. There's more that is for us than that could possibly be against us right now. If you are a believer in here today, are there trials that you and I are going to face? Are there trials that God will allow? Are there things that the Lord may even lead us into? Yes. But the beauty of the salvation that you and I have received is that there is nothing that you're facing today where there is more against you than what is for you. And so let's just go, and this is where it gets beautiful. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. Was he seeing? Yeah, he saw all the enemies, he saw the threats, he saw there was no way out, but he wasn't seeing. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. So what were those things? Some people will say, well, they were angel armies from God. Other people will say that that was the way that God manifested his presence in this moment to say, so this threat that's around you, I'm a far greater threat to that threat than that threat is to you. What are you surrounded by? Chariots? Well, here are some chariots of fire. Elisha looks at his assistant and says, do not fear. And he prays that he would see things the way that he saw things. It's not that he didn't see the threat that surrounded him, but he saw through the threat to see the unfailing power and glory of God that was waiting on the other side of it. When the Bible says that you and I are in a fight of faith, what is this fight? It's between walking by faith and walking by sight. By sight, what is sight? It's what the first guy saw. He saw the threat very clear. He saw that in the natural, there was no way out and no way forward. But what Elisha prays, that his eyes, the Bible says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be open, that you would comprehend and understand the love of God. That he saw through whatever the threat was to the presence of God that surrounded him in his trial. You and I will never grow into a maturity and a steadfastness in our faith unless we begin to have the eyes of our heart opened to see through the things that challenge us to the presence and promises of God that surround us. What God is doing in this ministry, in your heart, if you're not a believer, if you don't know Jesus and you have not been born again, there is life for you. You're here tonight, God is speaking to you. I know that. You sense God's presence here in this room. He's real, he loves you, and what he has for you, you cannot even wrap your mind around or comprehend. we're a room of people learners and I'm talking tonight is because of how real this is. And if you don't know the Lord, tonight is the night. God wants to meet you here. He wants to bring new life into your heart. But if you are here and you're saved, then what God, what JC said earlier, that the work he began, he's going to see through to completion. What is that work that he's trying to see through to completion? A faith where you are not living anymore by what is natural, by what you see, but living through his power and his presence. With the eyes of your heart open, seeing who he is to you in every trial, you realize in everything that you and I face in life, every battle, situation with our families, coworkers, finances, desires that are unfulfilled, struggle against our flesh, there is something that we have to trust God for in that. There's some truth that God has given us that he's saying, take your eyes off of this and fix them on me and what I've said, who I've promised you that I am to this. I'm going to be your victory. I'm going to be your deliverance. I'm going to see you through it, but I can't take what you don't give me. If you're not going to trust me, if you're not going to fix your eyes on me, if every single time something hits, every time you get punched in the face, you tap out and you run away, you're going to stay your entire life stuck where you are as a baby in the Lord. What God is committed to is seeing you come to maturity, a steadfast faith where things go bad, your hopes are not met, the things that you were really excited for don't work out, where the bottom falls out under you and you're in a boat, like when Jesus is there and the storm comes and it just keeps getting worse and worse and bigger, that no matter how crazy the storm gets around you, you can sleep in the boat because you have a steadfast faith knowing that I don't have to fear what I see because I know what he's promised to do to my life. I know who he's promised to be to me. How else are we gonna get there though, except through situations where we have to do it? It's like, it would be amazing if just theoretically, we could just be in our room, have a really nice prayer time, and then from there, I just come out glowing and I never worry about anything else for the rest of my life. What James says, let's put up that verse from James really quick. It says this, consider it pure joy. Another translation says, is an opportunity for great joy. Brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, another translation says any kind, any trial that you could possibly face, consider it an opportunity for great joy because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What is this perseverance that it's talking about? It's this, God is unchanging. No matter what my circumstances look like, if it's not good, it's not done. I'm going to see his glory. I'm going to see his goodness. The Bible says he's working all things together for the good of those who love him. Put up that other verse really quick in Colossians. I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message has been kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So if you're here and you're a believer, the guarantee of any circumstance and situation that you are possibly facing right now is that on the other side of this threat, an enemy, an army that's facing you, whether it's an external thing, whether it's even your own flesh, on the other side of it, as you trust God, is glory, is seeing heaven open up in this world, and then one day the glory that we'll see him when we stand before him face to face. So in this life, God is working all things together for good, for your good and his glory. That's not changing, but then our perceptions of our circumstances, that's what changes a lot. And so what God is committed to is bringing us to a place of maturity in him where just because things don't seem to be going good, our perception of our circumstance is steadfastly fixed on the truth that he is with me, for me, I have everything I need now, and he's going to work this out. I know, starting with me, a lot of us here, we are far more easily shaken than that. that all it takes is just like a little and I'm gone. All it takes is just one little conversation at work for somebody to look at you the wrong way, for you to say, I'm quitting my job. It's like we are in a culture, and with all due respect, and please hear my heart in this, there's such thing as trauma. There's such thing as crazy circumstances that we have to work through in our heart. But we're in a culture that says anything that's painful is trauma, and it's to be avoided. What about the will of God that leads us into trials? God leads us into situations where pain is present. And so what God is trying to bring us to is a place of resilience, is a place where whatever my idea is of what I think in the moment, this is, seems to be the best thing, I'm not trusting in an outcome. I'm trusting in a person. My hope isn't in this thing playing out in a specific way. My timelines, my idea of how things should be. And it's like, God, I'm trusting you, but I'm really just trusting in my idea of what I think you're going to give me. So in the situation right now with my house, right when it happened, people were telling me, you're going to be good. You're actually going to get more money. It's like, you're going to be hooked up, dude. And I was just like, okay, we'll see. I've had an insane last year. I'm like, I'm not going to just like jump on that. Like, thanks for trying to be nice. But sure enough, the ball dropped. And again, it's like all clarity of how is this going to work out, gone. And in that moment, I realized this. Before, did I really have faith? When I saw like the insurance is going to pay out, it's going to be over this time frame, you're going to be good. It might be a little inconvenient for like a couple months, but like it's going to be good in the end. It's like at that point, I'm like, oh God, I'm trusting you. But it's like, when I can see how things are going to play out and I feel settled and secure by that, that's a little different than the faith where I believe, but I don't see any way out. When Elisha is there with his servant and he looks and he's looking at every way out from the city and he says, we're going to die. You're looking down a barrel of a gun and there's nowhere you can go. In those moments where all you can trust is in the promise and the character of God. How? I don't know, but he is going to be faithful. I have a couple last things I want to say before we close, but to sum this up, the main thing that I'm trying to get at for us is God is trying to lead us into maturity. God is trying to bring us to a place where our faith is unshakable, where disappointment, where battles, where frustrations don't knock us out and make us go back to square one and just live in the house that anytime a storm comes, he's like, I'm going to make you the house on the rock that cannot be shaken, right? That's what God is working in my life and in your life. And he's using trials and the battles that you're facing to get you through that, to get you to that point. So a couple last things we've got to address then. The Bible says he's working all things together for the good of those who love him. What is your good? When you are thinking of a battle that you're facing right now in life, you could say, yeah, this really is not fun. You're saying that God is going to work this out together for my good. What does that produce in your mind? What like way do you see this working out where you're like, yes, that would be good? In my situation right now, it could be, you know, I'm balling in a year from now. That insurance money hits. I'm with my wife in Kenya, riding a lion. I can think and say, that's the good that I'm trusting God for. He's working it together for my good, so in the end, all of these circumstances that are horrible are going to work out and be amazing. Can I tell you, that's part of it, but that is the way, way secondary good that God is working in your life through your circumstances. So often when we think of the trials we're facing and that it's going to work together for my good, we think of the circumstantial way that it's going to play out. But the real good, God knows, he made you. He knows what you really need. He knows what your real good is. And what that real good is walking in living experience of his goodness on a daily basis, which is so different than just circumstances being good. What he is committed to is bringing you into an experiential living union with Christ, where as you're walking with him daily, you're communing with him. You have his peace reigning in your heart. You're filled with love that's freeing you from living selfishly and worried and anxious and hopeless, but you're living for the things that he made you to live for, the works for his kingdom that you're alive to fulfill. The good that he has for you is to live in the sustaining, perfect presence, his experiential presence in your heart. That is your good. That is what God is committed to seeing brought about in your life. And often, God even withholds the circumstances working out because what we're looking for is for the good that we want to be found in those circumstances rather than him. He disciplines those he loves. It's painful for a moment, but it results in the experience of his holy goodness and love in our life. Maybe God is continuing to allow a trial that you're facing today because you are refusing to look and see through whatever the trial is to who he is to your trial. You're just saying, God, when are you going to get this out so I can go back to a comfortable life? And God says, the comfort that you're looking for is my presence, which is found in the middle of the discomfort. God is calling you to look through whatever the trial is that you're facing today to see who he is, to see the absolute sufficiency of his presence to your need today. That is the good that God is committed to seeing brought about. So, a couple last thoughts. Does that mean then that we don't ask God or hope for certain things, believe for certain things? Because in the end of the day, it doesn't matter. God just wants us to suffer and things to go bad, so I'm not even going to pray and ask him for specific things to work out. No. If I'm submitted to the Lord and I'm seeking him, then you have every right to come to him and ask him for what the best thing you know in whatever the situation is that's in front of you. Right now, God isn't saying, don't ask me for provision for your family. Like right now, I need provision for my family. I need to come before him and seek him. But as this has begun to happen, there have been certain doors that seem to be answers to those prayers. And I've gotten so excited. And it's like, this is it. You're answering the prayer now. And then finally, when I get there, it just disappears. Then what do you do in that moment? Where what it is that you're hoping would resolve whatever the challenges that you're facing doesn't come through. It's like, I trusted God until this point. I gave him a try, but he didn't really come through. And now I have to take control back of my life. The walk of faith, the fight of faith, is the steadfastness and maturity that Jesus is bringing us to. Is no matter how many discouragements, disappointments, unmet expectations come, you can still have assurance that glory is coming. That just because the plan that you began to start putting hope in didn't come out, maybe God is showing you again, you're putting your hope in a plan, not in the person of who I am. Stop trusting me, hoping that this will play out a certain way. Trust me. Do you not see? The Bible says, if he didn't spare his own son, but gave him generously for all of us, will he not also give us everything we need? Here I am in a moment where it's like, I needed that, God. You didn't come through. You didn't give me that thing. And then God convicts me and it's like, did I really need that? Today I'm good. My needs are provided. He still has blessed me. Sure, I don't know what the next step is, but this current step, he's being faithful. So rather than holding him to the ideas of what I think things should be like, let me embrace what he has allowed. So many of us stay stuck because we fight what he has allowed, which he's using to do the deepest work that he's done in our heart yet, but we miss it because we resent it rather than embrace it. Those challenging people in your life that you view as in the way of your flourishing, you just say, God, my life is going to be miserable until you deal with them and get them figured out. And so here I am, the very chaos and craziness of those people that God would use to actually show me who he is through that trial, I'm missing. Because I'm just saying, God, there's no way you could do anything through that. There's no way you could actually be with me in a job that I hate. There's no way that you could actually want me to live just day by day without really knowing what my future is going to hold and feel like aimless and actually just trust you for that. You know the beautiful thing? I heard a pastor say this once, that a diamond, the most like beautiful, intricate diamonds that have so many cuts and different like angles inside of them, that when you hold the light to it, you have to twist it. And when you do, you can see like all of the reflections of light going through it, and you could see the full brilliance of the diamond. In the same way, every trial and turn of your life is an opportunity to meet God in a different way. In the middle of your frustration, he's your comforter. In the middle of your fear, he's your security. In the middle of your pain, he's your healer. Everything that you're facing, there is a way that God wants to manifest his grace and goodness so that you can be whole regardless of what it is that you're facing. But do we trust that? Do we believe that? Do we embrace what God has allowed? Do we embrace the fire, or do we just run from it and stay immature, stay worldly, stay on a roller coaster? My prayer for all of us tonight, and we could begin to wrap, that verse where it says that Elisha, when he sees this young man filled with fear, he says, Lord, open his eyes so that he can see what's really for him in this moment. My prayer for my life, for your life, what I am so grateful for what God has done in my life and even these last weeks, he has met me, kept me walking in a peace that's like real, because in moments of beginning to like freak out, it's like by his grace, he's helped me see through the threat to his presence and his promises. What is it that you are facing today? What is it that is stealing your peace? What is it that's making you question whether God is actually good, whether God is actually with you? Maybe you've gotten really good at analyzing the problem that's in front of you, but you don't see. You're looking, but you don't really see what is true over your life in Christ. The Lord wants to open your eyes tonight so that you can see him as a savior to whatever it is that you're facing in a new way. Does that mean that your problem is going to resolve itself tonight or tomorrow? Maybe, probably not. But even if it doesn't, you will be whole in Christ. Whatever God has allowed, whatever you're experiencing in your life, if you're in Christ, it is passed through the loving hands of God. And so my challenge to you tonight is, in faith, embrace it. Don't run from it. Don't miss the beautiful, deeper, greater work than you've ever experienced before that he wants to bring through it. Embrace it in faith. Look through the threat. Look through the challenge and the discomfort to the God who is with you and for you, the promises that he has over your life. Let's close our eyes. If tonight there is some battle that you're facing and you recognize the temptation to just walk by sight and despair and feel hopeless, but from the word of the Lord to your heart tonight, you want to reject that and in faith ask the Lord to open the eyes of your heart to see his promises to whatever the need is and the challenges that you're facing. If tonight you want to say, God, I'm done running from whatever the problem is. I'm done trying to avoid it. Lord, I want to embrace what you've allowed in faith and meet you through it. If you want to trust God for that tonight and allow him to take you deeper into maturity.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. To connect with us, visit our ministry page at brooklyntabernacle.org or you can follow us on our Instagram @SanctusNYC.